Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to study your word and to celebrate fathers today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching each one of us and touching our hearts and renewing our minds today. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. And we are going to just share a few things from the scripture regarding fathers. But before I get started, I saw some lists in our pastor's illustrations. And so this list is from, not from me, but from someone else. But this is what dad cooks when mom's away. And they said hot dogs with just a hint of Tabasco sauce. Or they go to the kids eat free night at the steakhouse. Little Caesar's pizza. Fried bologna with Doritos. Back of the fridge goulash with lots of pepper. Chips and salsa. A Cocoa Puff surprise. Something old, something blue, something frozen, call it stew. Cold pizza. And dad's top choice for cooking is whatever is cooking at grandma's house. Yeah. Things you won't hear a father say to his children. Can you turn up that music? It really calms my nerves. Oh, you can't finish your food? Oh, go ahead, just throw it away. Here, just take the remote. No, honey, sit this one out. I really can't wait to change that diaper. Oh, go ahead, take the car keys, and here's $50 for gas. Kids, can you tell me where babies come from? Oh, so those are some things you will probably not hear dad say to his children. So today we're celebrating fathers, and our fathers here on earth, and our fathers within our church, and Ephesians 6, 2 through 4 says this. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers and mothers raise their children together. And according to God's design, the family unit is a father, a mother, and children. The scripture places a strong responsibility on the father to tutor, to educate, and to train the children. The Greek word for training actually means a disciplinary correction. It's not a harsh correction, but it's like an instructor who teaches and nurtures the child. To nurture is to support and encourage during a period of training and development. And nurture comes from the root word that means to educate or demonstrate and discipline, to instruct or learn or teach. And so there's a strong emphasis that the scripture puts upon a father to teach their children, to instruct their children. And I thought it was interesting. The word says, if you look back at the scripture, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition means to call attention to. So dads call attention to the Word of God in their children's life. Our children have great aspirations, and many of them choose different careers. And the Bible doesn't instruct you how to be a lawyer or how to be a doctor or a scientist. It instructs us in how to live. So regardless of what career our child picks, if we are always giving them admonition, pointing them to the Word of God of how to live their life. Proverbs says they're not going to depart. If you train up a child in the way they should go, they will not depart from it. And so training is an important part of mom and dad, but the scripture puts an emphasis upon dad to instruct them. Matthew Henry's commentary said this: let your children have a religious education. Instruct them to fear sinning and inform them of and excite them to the whole of their duty towards God. So the responsibility of a father is to continually remind them of what God's word says about a situation. And you don't always have to use a scripture, but you can use principles. We're going to take a look at Noah's life. But before we go there, I want to encourage you that in Luke 2:52, even Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So we all grow in wisdom. And our children, we have the responsibility of imparting that wisdom to them. Favor means graciousness or manners. And the way Jesus acted, his manners were gracious. He knew how to respond to adults. And he was taught that. That's not always in the heart of a child. Did you notice that? But it should always be our heart to encourage them and give them some admonition and point them towards growing in wisdom and the favor of God and man. Because in Proverbs 20:11, it says, even a small child is known by their actions. So I'm going to go on and share with you just a letter from Irma Bombeck. Does anybody remember her? Yeah, you do? Who remembers her? Okay, so we have some people who remembers her. She said, I received a letter from a single mother who had raised a son who was about to become a dad. And since he had no recollection of his own father, her question to me was, what do I tell him a father does? And she responds to the person that when her dad died in the ninth grade, she too was raised by her mother, giving rise to the same question, what do fathers do? As far as I could observe, they brought around the car when it rained so everyone else could stay dry. They always took the family pictures, which is why they were never in them. They carved turkeys on Thanksgiving, kept the car gassed up, weren't afraid to go in the basement, mow the lawn, and tighten the clothesline to keep it from sagging. And Irma says it wasn't until her husband and her had children that she was able to observe firsthand how a father contributed to a child's life. What did he do to deserve his children's respect? She thought he rarely fed them, rarely did anything about their sagging diapers. He usually didn't wipe their nose or fanny. What did he do? Well, she said he threw them higher than his head until they were weak from laughter. He cast the deciding vote on the puppy debate. That's huge. He listened more than he talked. He let them make mistakes. He allowed them to fall from their first two-wheeler without having a heart attack. He actually read the newspaper while they were trying to parallel park a car for the first time in preparation for their driving test. If I had to tell someone's son what a father really does that is important, it would be that he shows up for the job in good times and in bad times. He's a man who is constantly being observed by his children. They learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment, and success. He won't laugh at their dreams, no matter how impossible they might seem. He will dig out at 1 a.m. when one of his children run out of gas. He will make unpopular decisions and stand by them. When he is wrong and makes a mistake, he will admit it. He sets the tone for how family members treat one another, treat members of the opposite sex, and people who are different than they are. By example, he can instill a desire to give something back to the community when its needs are greater than theirs. But mostly, a good father involves himself in his kid's life. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it is to walk out of his life. A father has the potential to be a powerful force in the life of a child. Grab it. Maybe you'll get a greeting card for your efforts. And maybe you won't. But it's steady work. Irma Bombeck. So some of the good characteristics that you appreciate about your earthly father is a recollection of our heavenly father. And there were many choices in the scripture that I could have used today to encourage dads, but I did pick the one about Noah. And we're just going to look at Hebrews 11:7. By faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So number one, Noah was filled with faith and vision for his family. Noah was divinely warned by God of things that were to come. Godly vision is the ability to see things before they happen. And God opened Noah's eyes so that he would know what was coming upon the earth. And he gave him specific instructions. So God provides fathers with the ability to see things before they happen. You wonder why, as a child, maybe your father would get upset when you did certain things. Or your dad would get upset when you hung around with certain people. That is because he had the vision. He knew what could happen to you. The second thing is Noah moved with godly fear. So fathers make decisions that honor God. And they are humble before the Lord. The only way we can walk with God is to be humble. And being a parent will humble you. Is that right? Some of the things your children do will really humble you. Hallelujah. But we love them because some of the things that we do, God is already God. I'm not so sure that he becomes more humble. But some of the things that we do, God must shake his head at as our Heavenly Father. They knew better than that. But Matthew tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So we're always in the sight of the Lord. There's never a time that the Father's not watching over us. His eye goes to and fro across the earth. And the scripture tells us he knows when even a little sparrow falls, which is the least of creatures. Therefore, he knows what we have need of before we even ask. His eye is on us all the time. And we're to live our life with a humble attitude. And if we do, God will lift us up. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Noah's life is an example of living humbly. And so was Moses. God chose Moses to lead the children of Israel because the scripture says he was the most humble man, more humble than any man alive. So you can see how God loves humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We're blessed when we realize that we have a spiritual deficit. Unless God helps us, we cannot change ourselves. And unless God gives us strength and wisdom, we are going to make poor choices. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Isaiah 57:15 says this, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God revives the spirit of the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So just like Noah, fathers who humble themselves before God will receive grace from above, the grace that they need to lead their families. Number three, Noah followed God's plan for his family and he prepared an ark. Now Noah had to decide in his heart what he was going to believe. There are heart decisions that fathers make as they lead their family. Noah needed to determine, due to how others would treat him and respond to his decision to build the ark, he needed to make sure that his heart was set, that he had heard the word of the Lord, and this was the way that his family was going to be saved. He probably knew that people would scorn him because it had never rained. So why would you need an ocean liner when you live so far from the ocean? People would be laughing at him, mocking him. And he was not going to build this boat overnight. It wasn't going to be in a week. It wasn't going to be in a month. But it was years. Tell your neighbor, it was years. Years of building. That's a long project, huh, James? Need a lot of workers, that's right. So he had determination. And Noah believed God despite his circumstances, despite what others thought or said, despite even how he felt. Don't you think he probably felt discouraged on some days? He might have wanted to just throw his tools at the people that were harassing him. True? Noah was just another guy who was watching over his family, being faithful to God, and he wanted to save them. And this was the only way. So despite what others thought or how he felt, he preached to everyone that it was going to rain and that God was sending judgment upon the earth. He shared his message and he kept building the ark. Number four, Noah's faith in God caused his whole family to be saved. And isn't that what we want, dads? We want our children to be saved. So in the end, Noah was rewarded for his faith and he was proven right by God. Noah's family saw his faith and it affected their lives. And Noah's family believed his message from God and responded by helping him. And Noah's family was blessed to have a godly father. The way a father lives blesses his family when he's a godly man. When we see God in people, when we see God in our parents, in our dads, there's usually two responses that we'll get. One will be dislike and even some hatred, rebellion. I'm sure we've all experienced rebellion in our own lives. And when our parents corrected us and instructed us, it wasn't really what we wanted to hear. Does anyone know that feeling?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Stephen, in the scripture, he took a stand for God, and the people hated him so much, they stoned him and killed him. So there is often a reaction. Or they will see the grace of God and respond like they responded to Peter on the day of Pentecost. And they said, what must we do to be saved? Number 5, Noah's obedience to God condemned the world. The world was mocked and ridiculed. Well, they had mocked and ridiculed Noah and his family. They blew off the warnings. They made fun of his faith and his belief in God. But God proved him right, and in the end, he did judge the world. And we need to realize that God is going to judge the world again. We should allow that to affect our lives in how we live and in what we say. And once again, fathers set a righteous standard for their families to follow. Number 6, Noah was counted right with God. Noah believed in God, and it caused him to have faith in God. And the only way we can become right with God is to have faith in him. Right? It's impossible to please God without faith. Genesis 15:6 says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Romans 5:1-2 says, therefore, would you read this with me? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by Father, grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So the questions are you a faith-filled father? Are you a faith-filled person? Are you looking for peace with God? We are justified by faith. We stand before God just as if we had never sinned. And we have peace with God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and because we've received him into our life. And this gives us access by faith to grace. And we stand in the grace of God every day. Every day is a new day. Every day is a day to give God glory and to rejoice for the family and for the friends and the people that God has connected us to pray for one another, to encourage your children and admonish them in the ways of the Lord. Keep pointing them to the ways of the Lord. God will give you wisdom how to do that. It doesn't have to be a big Bible study and you sit the kids down. I often share with people, we went to church a lot, and there we had this discussion time in the car with our children. You know, we had a captive audience, parents. That's the perfect time to take advantage of that. Now you can see how children could easily be preoccupied with their phones and earbuds in their ears. But if we could put those things away and be a family as we travel, get in the car. Great discussions in the car. Great discussions. And be open to their questions and answer them in a way they can understand. We all want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And we can, if we'll just believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. And allow him to change us from the inside out. God works on our inside, and it shows up on the outside. So when we look at Noah, the Bible doesn't share a lot of his weaknesses, but it definitely shares his strengths and how he led his family, how he feared the Lord, how he followed God's plan that his house would be saved. Each one of us sitting here today hopefully knows the plan of salvation. And Jesus said that he came to save the whole world. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we have a responsibility to share the good news of the gospel. And the first responsibility for our fathers is to save their own household. I can't tell you how many PK kids I have counseled that their parents did not care for them and teach them in the ways of the Lord in a way that they should have, but were always out helping somebody else. You probably all know some people like that. They love God and their intention is to help other people, but before we go out, it's our own household that we are responsible for. The stronger our families are at River of Life, the stronger our church will be. Before we minister to somebody else, let's get our house in order. That is what the scripture tells us. Make your children a priority. Children are a priority at River of Life. We began this ministry ministering to children out on the street. There were many times 25 children would show up at church because we were within walking distance, or we would pick them up, or they would ride their bikes with no parents whatsoever. The people sitting in the congregation became their parent for the service. And they weren't children that knew how to behave in church. This is where we began, loving on kids that were pretty unlovable. But you can see how God rewarded the fruit of our labor with our magnificent student center facility. God has blessed us above and beyond what we could ask or think because we considered the children. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." You know, the disciples were around him. They're like, "Oh, stay back, stay back. You're misbehaving, stay back, get away from Jesus. He doesn't have time for you." And Jesus says, "Hey, wait a minute. I want the children. I'm concerned with the children. If a child is not saved and trained and taught by the time they are 5 years old, it gets more and more difficult." And by the way, most parents try to reason with children when they're that age. There is no reasoning with children at that age. You are the parent. Lead your children. Children make decisions for their parents rather than parents making decisions for their children. We grew up in an era where our children's life rotated around ours. And our life rotated around the church. And now parents rotate their life around what their kids want to do. It is upside down. It is upside down. And it's no wonder we have so many difficulties within families, because Satan wants to tear the families apart and tear the children apart to weaken the body of Christ in America. But we will not be ignorant of his devices. And we are going to continue to support our families and our children and make them a priority, and to reach out into the highways and byways to bring children in. You know, Jesus said to go out in the highways and byways and bid them to come. And do you know the reason he said that? Because the people who were invited, that were all the really nice people, they didn't want to go. They didn't have time or something. And they did not show up. So they went out and got the lame and the blind and those that are overlooked and the throwaway kids. and brought him into the wedding and gave him clothes. And isn't it something when we come to Jesus, he cleans us all up? It doesn't take everybody telling somebody what to do. Jesus is able to do it. You know that? Holy Spirit can do that because he cleans us from the inside out. There was an elderly lady in the church that we grew up in, and her name was Sister Powell. And she said she could cuss like a sailor before she got saved. And she said she wore a bikini every chance she got. This is really hilarious because, you know, she seemed very, very old to us when we were kids. She kind of looked like Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies. But she said when Jesus saved her, she did not cuss anymore. And she had no desire to wear a bikini. And it was interesting, her testimony, because nobody made her do anything. You know, God is big. God knows how to get a hold of our heart and mind. And only God can change us from the inside out. And how he loves fathers. And he knows the struggles of families in our culture. And how difficult, how the enemy is raging. He's raging. But you know, I'm going to encourage you today. God's already defeated him. He's given us a plan of salvation. So we know we can make it. And we know that we're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and so can we. And those in our families, our children that we love, we care for, God can turn them around like the prodigal son and bring them home. We were talking with our daughter yesterday, Lisa, and she was sharing about the prodigal son and how that story just stirs her heart. That the father didn't scold him, didn't say, "Where have you been? Look how dirty you are." No, the father was so excited that his son had come home. He threw a big party. And God is so loving to each one of us and wants us to come. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together this morning and for your word that's gone forward. Father, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that through Jesus Christ we come to our Heavenly Father this morning, and we humble ourselves before you, and we thank you for this great salvation. And if anyone here has not received you as their Lord and Savior, Father, we pray right now you touch their hearts and you draw them close to you. And Lord, we thank you for our River of Life family and all of the dads that are in our members and those that attend here. God, bless them. Bless them not only today, but bless them every day as they lead their families. Lord, give them your wisdom and your grace. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.